read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Hold them in your hand, and you'll hippity hoppity clippity cloppity off to a different land.
Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our book pick segment for this week. We normally do this on Tuesday. Yesterday, we had a wonderful interview with Melissa Oftemauer and her new book and celebrating the release of that book. So we just nudged our booksellers and asked them if they would be up for coming in a day later, and they were sweet enough to say yes. So that is why we are doing this on a Wednesday and not on a Tuesday. And we thank you for your understanding. We have two booksellers from two bookstores joining us with amazing books that we should pay attention to. Lily Bartels is in studio from Open Door Bookstore in Schenectady, New York. Good morning, Lily. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. I'm fine.
Really great to see you. And James Conrad is from the Golden Notebook in Woodstock, New York, joins us via telephone. Good morning, James. How are you?
Hi, Joe. Hello, Lily. Sorry if our schedules kind of made our lives a little weird, but I'm always happy to phone in from vacation to talk about books.
Well, you're very nice. I thank you very much, and that's sweet of you. All right. We have some really good books on both of these lists, so let's get started. Lily, go ahead.
I'm going to start with an absolutely charming and intriguing new novel called The Last Spirits of Manhattan by John A. McDermott. I was so engaged and entertained by this story, which takes as its jumping off place the true story of a party in New York City in 1956 that was hosted by Alfred Hitchcock in an old mansion that was rumored to be quote unquote haunted. It was a very glamorous affair. A lot of celebrities were there. Henry Fonda, Charles Adams, who, as you know, drew the Adams Family mm-hmm. cartoons. But also in attendance are the spirits of family members who once lived there. As it turns out, the house is actually haunted by ghosts. And across the hours of the party, they will mingle with the guests unseen and then appear to and speak with a select few to share their stories. The main character is a young woman named Carolyn Banks. She leaves her mundane life in the Midwest, and also she leaves her boyfriend because she fears he's about to propose to her. But she does not want the conventional life that she's expected to live. She wants something more. So she goes to visit her aunt, an artist who lives in Manhattan. And by coincidence, she finds herself at the old home of her great aunts where this party is being thrown, where she encounters the spirits of her relatives who used to live there. And in particular, the first spirit to appear to her is a distant relative whose name was Isabella, who died when she was 17 years old in 1917 of the Spanish flu. And her name, she goes by Snug. And she is the most intriguing and compelling ghost that Carolyn will encounter. So they share these long-buried family secrets with Carolyn. And I have to say, McDermott writes dialogue that feels natural and honest and keeps the pace brisk. I loved this book. It's one of those stories that are so vividly cinematic that I could really see it and hear it in its movie form in my mind the entire time. I'm showing you the cover, Joe, so you'll get a sense of the time and place.
That's very cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Yes.
Very
gray and noir.
It's a throwback to, I would say, like the black and white movies of, I don't know, Katharine Hepburn, perhaps. But so there's blossoming romance for Carolyn. There's the kind of witty dialogue you might expect from a movie of that period. There's grief. There's love. And although there are elements of magical realism, of course, in the ghosts, It's not about fear, but more about how the past lingers. And all of it actually feels very real.
The name of the book is The Last Spirits of Manhattan by John A. McDermott. All right. James.
Yes. So my first book up today is The Quarry Fox and Other Critters of the Wildcat Skills by Leslie T. Sharp. I have to lead with this book because it's our latest labor of love from our own Golden Notebook Press, our
awesome
little publishing house that's focused on publishing subjects and authors that truly define the Hudson Valley area. And author Leslie T. Sharp is a locally renowned naturalist, and this wonderful book is about all of the nature right around her at her Catskills home. And to be clear, this book went out of print a while ago, and we were thrilled to have it brought to us to bring it back into print. And we've done it in a more sort of accessible paperback edition, and it has all new original artwork. So Quarry Fox is a series of essays that focus on the many birds and animals that make our region their home. There are birds, bats, foxes, bears, deer, owls, and of course a quarry fox. And there's a wonderful chapter on the bobcat, and this is the animal that has given the mountains its name. And she explains that there was talk the mountains were going to originally be called the Blue Mountains, which were going to mimic the nearby White Mountains and the Green Mountains. But the name Catskill stuck, and it comes from Dutch for cat, and of course kill meaning a body of water. And the name was believed to be inspired upon seeing a bobcat along the side of a river that emptied into the Hudson, first named on an original map at the location of the very town of Catskill. And it's most likely what has given the whole region the name. And it's rare now to see a bobcat in the Catskills, but I was actually lucky enough to see one at my first home in Woodstock years ago. I was pretty far up the mountains at that point. I thought it was a man crawling in an orange suit. I was like, what is happening?
Yeah,
they're wild to see because you just didn't know what it was. You were like, what am I looking at? Yeah, anyways, beautiful animal. Anyways, so every essay in this collection is dedicated to a famous naturalist that has preceded and inspired Sharp's work, like Edward Abbey, Rachel Carlson, Alf Evers. And Sharp fits right into this crowd with her inspired prose, and it makes you feel like you are wandering the woods with her as your guide. And she's especially talented at spelling out bird calls. She literally, like writes them out in, like, all the vowels and all that. And if you say them aloud a few times, you suddenly are like, oh, my gosh, I've heard that before. It's really cool. Anyways, I just want to also say that all the new illustrations are by our local artist, Will T. Lytle, and it really makes the book pack a real punch, I think. So no Hudson Valley home should be without it, and we're going to do an event with Leslie all spring and summer, but the first one kicks off at the Woodstock Library, April 4th at 4:30, and it's also with Kenneth Posner and his book, Chasing the Grid, an ultra-runner physical and emotional journey in pursuit of the ultimate mountain challenge. I can't wait to find out what ultra-runner means.
Yes, we'll find that out. Good thing to leave out there. The Quarry Fox and Other Critters of the Wild Catskills by Leslie Sharp. Lily.
Next up, I have Midnight Taxi by Yosha Gunasekera. So Gunasekera is a former public defender, and this is her debut mystery, in which she introduces a Sri Lankan-American New York City cab driver named Sirawati Pereira. Siri's driving late one night in New York City when she's going to pick up two different customers who will play a significant role in her life. The first is a public defender and also a fellow Sri Lankan named Ameo Fernando. And Siri's thrilled because she loves true crime podcasts and she's intrigued by Ameo's work. And, of course, they also share a background, a shared Sri Lankan heritage. So she hopes to connect with Amaya again at some point, but that opportunity arrives much sooner than she had imagined and for all the wrong reasons, because Siri's next passenger, a man who she's driving to JFK, ends up dead in the back seat of her cab when she gets to the airport, and she's arrested for this murder, which she did not commit, but for which she's the only possible plausible suspect. She has a wealthy childhood friend who bails her out of jail, and then she contacts Amaya, she's able to enlist as her lawyer, and then the two of them have 5 days to try to solve this impossible crime before Siri has to go before a grand jury and likely be indicted for murder. So together they have to chase down leads and try to put the pieces of this puzzle together in a city where the odds are pretty stacked against poor people of color. So this book is fast-paced, it's perfectly plotted, and best of all, Siri is a totally engaging character, and I bet we're going to see more of her.
Midnight Taxi is the name of the book, and the author is Yosha Gunasekara?
That's it.
All right. Excellent. James, you're up.
All right. Next, I have This Incredible Longing, Finding Myself in a Near-Cult Experience by Blair Glazier. So this incredible memoir, it's truly for everyone, those with faith, those without, and those in search of something spiritual in their lives. Glazier recounts her younger life, that she had a fractured relationship with her mother, an eating disorder that was made worse from an early career in acting. And then after a failed relationship after college in L.A., she's off to a yoga program. And there she has a very cathartic practice experience that tackled her eating disorder and her childhood feelings of isolation. And so she decided, because of the went so well, to throw herself fully into the practice full time, and she moved into the city yoga ashram in the Hudson Valley run by Guru Mai. Now, this is all against all of her previous opinions about spiritual rituals that focus on being devoted to a leader. But off she went, and what follows is her accounting of all the very good and bad and even cringy world of ashram living after she moved in full time. And the book goes really deep into how she ultimately started to question her decision, and these paths in her questioning became perhaps even more important for her personal development. And she ultimately recognized that the kinds of practice where helping her solve her problems were not solutions, but that they were actually tools, and that beauty exists within flaws. And I think what intrigued me most about the book is that I think all of us seek these tools to fix ourselves, to find more peace and well-being in our lives. And we do it by yoga or by attending church or social networks or getting therapy or even by just reading good books. But the point is you keep seeking and trying to force those breakthroughs to your past to inform a future. And a memoir like Glare's can make us all relate to those times in our life where we tried and maybe came up short, but we never stopped pushing to understand ourselves and our world. And we're going to have Blair do an event with us with Jeffrey Davis on April 18th at 4, again at the wonderful New Woodstock Library, which you've got to visit if you haven't yet. And her terrific memoir is out now.
That terrific memoir is, This Incredible. This Incredible Longing.
This Incredible Longing, Finding Myself in a Near-Cult Experience.
I was going to say This Incredible Memoir, This Incredible, and then I realized I was double-dipping there. So, yes, This Incredible Longing, and we'll have more on the event dates and so forth coming up at the end of the segment. Willie, over to you.
Next up is a novel called Her Last Breath by Taylor Adams. It's a very intricately plotted thriller that starts off with an attempt to rescue a young woman who's trapped in a remote cave system in Washington State known as the Devil's Staircase. So two friends, Tess and Allie, and Allie is a travel writer, really successful, and an influencer who has organized this trip. They've set off on this caving expedition. And as they go down into the depths, they realize they're not alone. They encounter a stranger whom they assume to be another caver who harasses them. And when Allie insults him, he retaliates. And that encounter leaves Tess trapped inside a tiny space where she's fighting to stay alive. And then we're introduced to a detective named Layla Washington, who's facing mandatory retirement at the end of the year. So while she's not involved in the rescue mission, when Tess is brought out and hospitalized, Layla is assigned to go and interview her. So Tess describes, the harrowing ordeal, and she talks about how she and Allie were pursued by this armed killer. But Layla notices discrepancies in the story and wonders what Tess is hiding. Her own investigation turns up some shocking secrets about Allie's true past and suggests that maybe the attack wasn't so random after all. So who was Allie really? Why did this man target them? Is Tess still in danger? I have to say Adams is really adept at manipulating our expectations, because just when you think you've honed in on the answer to this mystery, she continues to drop in clues and surprises that redirect your suspicions elsewhere. So the story keeps you on the edge of your seat until the very end. It's very entertaining.
The name of the book is Her Last Breath, right?
Yes.
By Taylor Adams. Excellent. James.
All right. I'm doing next is Starshipped by Kat Sebastian. So as a bookseller, I think one of the biggest revolutions on our shelves of the past 5 years, it's been the revolution of romance fiction. And these books have really spoken to a whole new generation of readers, as well as they've modernized themselves in their wit and tone and design and sexual themes to sort of catch up with their loyal fan base as well. And a few years ago, I started to read a few every year, just not just to find out what all the fuss was about, but sort of to tune out all of the political news feeds and get lost in some very good and somewhat steamy love stories. And there's really something for everyone in this section. There's a cozy, which usually involves a sweet story with cats or knitting or a light mystery or something. And there's basically erotica in pretty much every ratings level you can imagine. And there's historical, sports, Western, science fiction. And so for those of you who've sort of burned through all of Rachel Reed's heated rivalry books, Lily, I don't know if you're selling them as much as we are, but we are probably looking for what's next after that. And the good news is Kat Sebastian is just out with a new queer romance called Starshipped. And like Reed, Sebastian is a very good writer, and like her, her novels may not be quite as explicit in the bedroom scenes, but they are actually definitely as emotionally compelling with their guy meets guy, guy hates guy, guy falls madly in love with guy sort of story arcs. And her latest book, her last book was You Should Be So Lucky, and was set in 1960s world of professional baseball, and it followed the unlikely gay meet cute between a baseball player and a sports reporter. And again, I was incredibly impressed with her immersion in the world of 1960s New York. And it's nice not to have everything set in the present day, especially in a romance. It's like good to go back in time sometimes. And in her latest, Starshipped, two actors are on a long-running science fiction television series together, and they have to pretend they like each other to head off a wave of bad publicity from both of their bad, troubled pasts. Mm. And you can guess that they fall head and heels in love along the way. But Sebastian likes to go pretty deep in her character development, with troubled family histories and personal quirks. And one of the men in the story suffers from a severe anxiety disorder, and she doesn't hold back in the warts and all depictions of what you would presume to be their perfect-looking lives, which are not at all perfect at all once they get to know each other and get to meet each other. And so if you're looking to get a break from the news feeds and social media threads, take a look in our store's local romance sections. There's something for everyone there.
The name of the book is Starshipped by Kat Sebastian, out now. Lily.
Next is nonfiction. It's a book called Cave Mountain, A Disappearance and a Reckoning in the Ozarks by Benjamin Hale. This is a really astonishing true crime story about two young girls who went missing in the same Arkansas woods, but 23 years apart, and the strange circumstances that connected them. It begins in 2001 on top of Cave Mountain in the Arkansas Ozarks, when a six-year-old girl named Haley, who is Benjamin Hale's cousin, got lost on a mountain trail, and that triggered what was at that time the largest search and rescue in the state's history. She was found after many, many hours, and she was fine, but her disappearance and the story she told about having been accompanied by an imaginary friend that she met in the woods and who helped guide her would eventually become connected to another story, mostly forgotten, that took place in the same wilderness more than 20 years earlier. A very dark and bizarre story of a cult, brainwashing, the murder of a child, and a teenage prophet with apocalyptic visions. This is not the type of book I'm usually drawn to, but when I got an advance copy, it sounded so intriguing that I started reading, and I have to tell you, I went directly down the rabbit hole of this mind-boggling story. It's riveting. And Benjamin Hale's writing in particular, his relentless investigation into this, the perspective that he brings to all the people involved, his insights, and, you know, his capacity for nuance, as well as his intimate knowledge of the Ozark wilderness where he grew up, makes this a brilliant story of good and evil.
The name in the book is Underwater by... Cave Mountain. Right?
Yes.
Cave Mountain by Benjamin Hale. Apologies.
I went out of order.
My curating was not up to snuff. Cave Mountain by Benjamin Hale. Terrific. Good stuff. Next.
Cave Mountain is really good. I'm so happy you talked about it. All right. Lake Effect, a novel by Cynthia Dupree Sweeney. I'm never sure if they have three names, whether I should refer to as Dupree Sweeney or Sweeney, but I think it's Dupree Sweeney, so I'm going to go with that. You probably remember her wonderful novel, The Nest, from a while ago. It was a huge seller. And as a novel, she excels in telling the stories of extremely broken families, And she never lets the subject matter drag you down, though. And she also doesn't really send them up because she's a very funny writer, too, and she could probably do that if she wanted. But she has a very good respectful balance between those two things. And In the Nest, it was about a group of adult siblings who'd always known they would be receiving a pretty decent inheritance around middle age. And their son informed all the money got used up because one of their siblings was involved in a high-profile car accident. And in Lake Effect, two neighboring family households collide in the worst possible way when one spouse runs off with the other spouse, and that leaves the remaining spouses and kids to somehow get on with it all and have them back in their lives on some level. And in this case, one of the daughters turns this scandal into her lifelong cross to bear. And the book is a wonderful telling of just what lengths people go through to be unforgiving. And also, maybe there are just some things that just can't be forgiven. And there are these great questions. These are the great questions she tackles, and we can probably all look into our immediate families and understand the struggle with that. Like friends, you can go through ups and downs with, but there seems to be something about your not chosen family that wounds can somehow maybe never heal. And Sweeney gives all of her characters such vivid individual life that you can't put this book down, and they'll stay with you very long after. And it's a little early, but this feels like a great first summer read. So maybe like it's all you need for like a weekend trip. So enjoy Lake Effect now or save it for when it gets a little warmer.
Lake Effect is the name of the new novel. Cool. All right. Lily.
Now comes Underwater by Tara Mainon. A new novel released today, in fact. And the story is that this little girl, Marissa, loses her mother at six. Her mom dies. And her marine biologist father moves them to Thailand because he wants to try to channel his grief into completing his wife's research. When they get there, Marissa meets and becomes fast friends with a little girl named Arielle. During the week, they live with Arielle's parents who run an inn. On weekends, they join the community of researchers that her father is part of on a nearby island. And here they have just the most magnificent time exploring the beaches, the forests, the reefs, all of which are beautifully described. And they learn how to dive into the deep and hold their breath and swim their way out of danger. But then comes the 2004 tsunami, and Ariel is not able to save herself, and she dies. And this leaves Marissa absolutely gutted with loss. Years later, Marissa's back in New York. She's somewhat adrift. She's haunted by the memory of Ariel, and she's still experiencing a lot of survivor's guilt. And now over the course of 2 days, as another cataclysm approaches the city, and that will be Hurricane Sandy, Marissa finally discovers how to live again, how to sustain herself in a world that's always going to be precarious. And I have to say that Tara Mainon's exquisite writing really packs an emotional punch. The way she evokes the intensity of these girls' friendship and the way she describes the extraordinary natural world that they're immersed in Thailand, it's intensely atmospheric. And, it is wrenching, it is heartbreaking, but it's also beautiful.
The name of the book is Underwater by Tara Mainon. All right. James.
All right. Because of a Shoe by Julie Fogliano and illustrated by Marla Frazee. I wanted to get a children's book in here, and my business partner, Jackie, who was going to do this today but had to cancel, passed this off to me, and I remembered this really well. We did an event with her, too. It's by Woodstock author Julie Fogliano, who writes in a very unique and lyrical rhythmic style. And she's partnered up here with Marla Frazee to illustrate she's one of the best children's artists working today. And this new book, Because of a Shoe, captures that moment of taking care of a toddler that everybody knows when you're trying to leave the house and somehow everything falls apart. And this time it's because of a shoe. And the entire story unfolds around this completely ordinary moment of a child refusing to put on their shoes. And it spirals into the very real toddler meltdown that every family recognizes. But what makes this book so special is the tone. Fogliano writes the text like one long breath of a sentence and captures all of the chaos and frustration and humor of this moment. And so these illustrations are incredible as they show the exhaustion and the absurdity and tenderness of parenting all at once. But the book really isn't about the tantrum. It's about what survives the tantrum and about the bond between a parent and a caregiver and child. And even when everyone's losing their patience, the love underneath it never goes away. And the New York Times highlighted this book recently and talked about how beautifully it captures this emotional truth of family life and how the smallest things can explode into drama, yet those same moments are also full of love and affection.
All right.
Because of a shoe.
Yes, it is because of a shoe. And we have one more book. We have 1 minute. That's the problem. And both of you wanted to talk about it. But real quick, in that minute, and it's hard to put this person into a minute, but go ahead.
Indeed it is, because she is such an icon and such a legend. I know those words are overused, but Liza Minnelli certainly fits that role. So she has a new memoir called Kids, Wait Till You Hear This. And it is... It's very much, she wrote it, it's based on conversations that she had with her good friend Michael Feinstein, and she tells her story from, you know, being the daughter of Judy Garland and how that role reversal when she had to take care of her mother in childhood. She broke free of that at 16, went to New York to sing and to act. We all know what happened. She turned into the incomparable performer that she is. Of course, along with that, also she inherited her mother's addiction. So there's a lot about how she recovered from that, her many marriages. The great thing about the book is how you can hear Liza's voice through it all. Yeah. Her vulnerability, her humor, it's just top notch. And for someone like me, I just love getting down into like the nitty gritty of celebrities' lives. We have signed copies at the store, a limited supply.
Good stuff. All right. We are officially well out of time. My apologies for having to wrap up quickly. GoldenNotebook.com, OpenDoorBookstore.com. Lily and James, you're wonderful. Thank you so much. You can find the entire list, WAMC.org/roundtable. Thanks to Bailey Janes on the board. Thanks to Sarah LaDuke, our producer. Also thanks to Madeline Reynolds, our associate producer. And, of course, to our panel, Fran Berman, Jay Jochnowitz, and Jackie Berry. Stay tuned now for Midday Magazine with Lucas Willard.